A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 26th September 2021, Sunday. So we will be starting the next series of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. We will be using the third lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, which was delivered by me on the 12th July 2015, about 6 whole years ago. And we shall continue with this new book, the third lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Okay. This third lesson is based on a direct transcript from the recording of the third lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta class dated 12 July 2015. At Wu Ping Qing Se. So it's already 6 years past. Okay, we'll go to the preface. Biodata, you read yourself. So we'll go to the preface. Okay. It is spread your sincere wish that the my friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators will be able to make use of the enclosed Dhamma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on the direct transcript from the recording of the third lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta class, dated 12 July 2015, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. It is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording first before reading the transcript book. To listen to the recording, the audio file, you can log on to our www.beriatio.com website. Under repository of Dhamma material, or Google Beriatio Kayanimittas, a repository of Dhamma material to view them, or alternatively download the audio file via this below MP3 audio link. So this MP3 audio link should function via its link to our website. Acknowledgement. Is the donor's sincere intention that this Dhamma transcript book be given free to those who are interested and have affinity to receive them? I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends of Kayanimittas who have donated and helped out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister S.K. Hong Shek Kun. She's from Singapore, who had taken the initiative to volunteer to develop the draft transcript for our subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma transcript book to be printed. So by the power of this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or help out in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations soon as possible, in metta always. Okay, we will go to the sutra sharing proper. So third lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. It's exactly 3 p.m. It was a Sunday class also. So we can start. Please relax body and mind and compose your mind to develop faith and prepare for puja. So this is the same. At that time, we also did our pre-puja. We shall recite the salutation following the Mahayana tradition first. So we chant homage to our original teacher, Sakya Muni Buddha. So in Mandarin is Namo Bensi Sakya Muni Fo. Then we salute Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Namo Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then we cut out the rest, we say Namo Fo Bodhisattva. We repeat it 3 times each. Then we chant the Theravada tradition. We start off with the salutation to the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. So the Vandana is salutation to the Buddha, followed by the taking of the 3 refuges, which we have done. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, then Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi. Then after that, we renew our 5 precepts, Panchasila, which we have done. Then we rejoice, Sadhu, 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 which we have all done. Then after that, we actually pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin Bodhisattvas and all the other great beings that are worthy of respect. And also, we make prostration to the Triple Gem by reciting Buddhang Pujayami, Dhammang Pujayami, Sanghang Pujayami. Means to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, we go for refuge. And we go to the Dhamma sharing proper, 3.2. A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Last week we didn't have our class because I was away with my wife. We visited Macau. That trip was very beautiful. It was in fact a good experience because that was the first time we visited Macau. There were many good conditions behind that trip. It was a very good trip and a lot of things happened while we were on that trip, even though it was just a short trip. And we met up with some good people too. Anyway, I would like to share something important with you all today before we start our 6th Patria Dhamma Jewel Platform Sutta class. We were on page 9 and we are supposed to continue from there. This is where we stop. But before we do that, I just want to share with you all something which I had sent out that morning. So it was sent out through the WhatsApp group. It's a write-up on mindfulness which I saw in the local Star newspaper. I think it's written by one of the Westerners. Nowadays, Western society are starting to appreciate the great benefits of a type of Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha called mindfulness meditation or sati-based meditation, namely the 4 foundations of mindfulness or sati sampajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension of every action and every movement in the present moment. This was the meditation they picked up and they had developed great interest in it because it had helped them so much. And this was also the topic we went through before we started on the 6th Patria Platform Sutta series of Dhamma sharing. We covered the 4 foundations of mindfulness, which is interesting. So what is interesting about this article is that even though it's a short write-up, they managed to capture some of the very important key points or key understanding of this type of meditation, but they didn't have proper explanation. But without proper explanation, so people may not understand, because what is written here is just a very brief summary of what that thing is supposed to be. So if you don't have a clear explanation to link it back to the Buddha's teaching, You cannot get much out of it unless you have the experience and the cultivation developed on your own during your past life. That's the reason why when I saw it, I thought it's a good topic to share. I shall now read it to you. This was published in the Star newspaper that day. And that's why I said today, 12 July 2015. The title was Meditate on This. Mindfulness as a meditation tool offered many benefits. They also have this understanding. What they have stated here is very good. That's the reason why I forwarded it to you all. It's a very good write-up on meditation. The write-up is as below. If you have heard or read about mindfulness as a form of meditation, you might be curious about how to practice it. Actually, mindfulness cannot be practiced, so that was the first clarification. Mindfulness is to be understood. The moment you understand, then it will be there. It cannot be practiced. You cannot practice to be mindful. You cannot try to be mindful, because that trying is by the thought. Whenever there is thought, there is no mindfulness. So mindfulness is not something you can practice. It is something you can train to develop. The heedful thinking mind can be trained to be heedful, to be aware. Because when this heedless thinking mind doesn't think, doesn't wonder, or doesn't verbalize or chatter, doesn't create, doesn't charge, react, or does all those funny things, then thought will cease to be. Then mindfulness will arise naturally. Without thought, you are already aware and mindful. This is the most important understanding. Without thought, your true mind will be there. And with that, you are naturally aware and mindful. Always remember, when you do not think, you are silent. I used to share this with all of you before. The moment you are silent without thought, you are already aware. You are already attentive. Do you understand? Your problem is, you are never silent or seldom silent. And before you understand and cultivate all this, you think a lot. That's the reason why the book Emptiness, when it comes out, you are going to understand a lot more. Because I have explained it in very clear and yet very simple manner with an in-depth coverage of what this thing is. When you read through this transcript book, which was based on a 2-hour-plus Dhamma talk I delivered at Klang Kiratana Center, Stengel, recently, you are going to develop a lot of understanding of what this teaching is all about, what heedfulness and mindfulness are all about, what is the true mind, and how that understanding can transform you and bring about great understanding of life. Then you can really appreciate and live life to the fullest. All this understanding are very important, but because people don't understand, so they use such wrong word to express it, you might be curious about how to practice it. So people who don't have the understanding, they will use this word, which is not appropriate. Just mindfulness cannot be practiced technically. So I mentioned, actually you cannot practice to be mindful. Mindfulness cannot be practiced. Mindfulness must be understood. The moment you understand, you will realize it. The moment you are attentive without thought, the moment you are silent, you are already aware. You are already mindful. But the moment you start to look for things, chase after it or practice it, you will never get it. That's the reason why I always advise you all, when you do the bowing, you just do, don't try to know. and there is no thought involved. Do until sati naturally arise, then the former mind will understand what sati is. It's like swimming. The moment you realize or understand what swimming is, what flotation and buoyancy is, you do not need the words to describe it. You will understand clearly because the former mind experiencing it there and then will understand, know what is needed. And that is true sati, not the word used to describe it. So for mindfulness, it is the same. I will read on. The article says, mindfulness is the act of intensely aware. The description is correct. When you are just aware, there is no thought. That's why he used the word intensely aware. But you have to be careful, where intensely aware can also be interpreted as trying to be very mindful. The trying is a resistance, do you understand? It is supposed to be a naturally relaxed state of awareness. You just silence your mind and remain attentive. Attentive means be aware, but don't force it. Don't resist it. Don't try to know. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to do anything about it. Just maintain silence. Then the awareness will be there. And when awareness is there, that state is very beautiful. So I will read the article again. Mindfulness is an act of intensely aware of what you are sensing, feeling at any moment or every moment, without interpretation or judgment. This means every moment, every instant within the present moment, you are aware, you are with the phenomenon. No need to have the words, intensely mindful of it. No need all those things. You just silence your mind and your awareness is just with it. Meaning, just aware without interpretation or judgment. He used the word correctly, without interpretation or judgment. Who interprets? What interprets? The thought, which is the egoic mind, interprets. So the moment you are silent, there is no thought, no interpretation, there is no chattering, there is no judgment, there is no reaction of mind. There is no trying to know or reason. All those cease to be. That's why without thought, you are already aware. The moment you are silent without thought, you are already aware. So don't try and do those funny things that people ask you to do, like noting, globalizing, etc. You see, this mindfulness sentence may appear to have a lot of dhamma, a lot of beautiful things. But when you understand, you will become very clear and very precise. There are still a lot of things not so correct within those sentences. Within that sentence, they are still not sure. And that's why they contradict themselves. They are using such wrong words. They use such words because such words have appeared before. Other people have used them before. These people who use them don't have clear understanding. That's why in many places they contradicted themselves. They use the word practice and intensely aware. And at the same time they say without interpretation and without judgment, etc. These are all words. If you don't understand, you contradict yourself without understanding what you are describing. So understanding is very important. The moment you understand all these words, the moment you understand, all these words become superfluous and no longer necessary. I will read on. Spending too much time planning, problem solving, or thinking negative or random thought can be draining. Here, draining means your thought energy, your mental energy. It drains away your mental strength, your mental energy, and can develop a lot of stress, as I did know. It can also make you more likely to experience stress and anxiety. People who worry because they have problems. So the worry causes them to think. And that thinking becomes more and more intense. Because as you think, the fear continues to arise. The anxiety, the worry, the intensity, and the insecurity. Then it triggers off memory, your phobia, etc. So all these are the cause of stress. Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, phobia, insecurity, they are all negativity of mind state. This one has got negativity of energy field. It can cause the cells to mutate because negative energy field can actually cause mutation to your bodily cell. Then when your bodily cell has this stress within, it will cause mutation. Then your cell will develop like unhealthy cell. Then it can turn cancerous, yeah, or even lower your immunity, your immune system. Because all these are negativity of energy field, as opposed to good mind state, loving kindness, peacefulness, tranquility, stillness, joy, happiness. All these are very positive, soothing energy field that can actually make people feel good. Then your cells will be vitalized, revitalized, and like charge up. Then your immune system will go up. That's why you must have loving kindness, righteous thought, kind thought that leads to positive energy field. Then you radiate metta, loving kindness, compassion. Then you rejoice with understanding, a sympathetic joy or mudita. Then you maintain the wisdom within to have the equanimous mind. You are always joyful, peaceful, tranquil, and still. That is the mind of a cultivator. The cultivator does not have negative thought. As I know, negativity or energy field, nothing. So that is how mindfulness can come in and help people recover from their so-called stressful situation. And all this stressful thinking or thought process can cause mental depression. Because it becomes a cocoon of thought that keep on repeating itself until the person enters depression. Depression means the thought become compulsive, intrusive. So all these thoughts, they cannot like be stopped anymore because your fear intensifies. Then it's like you cannot do anything. They intrude into your mind. They become obsessive, compulsive, and keep on coming. So this is lack of wisdom, lack of understanding. When you don't have the understanding, you get yourself into this type of state, mind state, that is very detrimental to your physical life. Because a person with this type of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation cannot have the peace within. They are always worrying, stressed out, and they cannot sleep. They have insomnia, they have fear, they have anxiety. Then they hold on to their sorrow, their lamentation, their phobia, their insecurity, their so-called problems. Okay, I will read on. They also know how a person becomes depressive or depressed. They think and think and think until it becomes a cocoon or negative thought. Keep on repeating those train of wrong thought like a tape recorder. Previous Sunday, before I went to Macau, I gave a Dhamma talk at HABA, and there was this lady who came to see me after the talk regarding her problem. She worked for a bank for more than 10 years. After hearing my talk, she approached me. She said, "Brother Teo, I have some problem. What you said in the talk regarding those first number two reality was very true. She was facing some very stressful moments. The company she worked for is a bank. Wanted to dismiss her, take disciplinary action against her. And she was full of fear, worry, anxiety, and she didn't know what to do. And when she heard me expounding the first number two reality regarding when you are with people whom you don't like career-related issue, management by fear and harassment, etc. She said all this happened to her, and they fitted in exactly. She was subject to all those realities, and she was still having intense fear while talking to me. Since Brother Sui An was also there, I said to her, "Please give your contact detail to Brother Sui An, and he can help you." But she insists on talking to me, so I said, "I can only advise you not to panic. Don't develop a fear, or it is not going to help you. Do you understand? When you have those mental states of fear, worry, anxiety, you will become very confused because you don't have clarity of mind. These are negative energy fields. They will make you miserable. It will not solve your problem. It will make you worse. Why not just calm yourself down first, then develop some form of clear understanding and learn to meditate a bit?" That day, the Dhamma talk's title was very relevant and good. I spoke on the topic, the importance and great benefits of cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. You have to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma before you can understand all this. Then only can you reap its great benefit to help you overcome all of the first number two realities, number two of dukkha or suffering, the eight conditions or realities of life and existence. At that time, she was not listening. She can never be attentive because the depressive thought leading to the fear was so overwhelming and so intense. In fact, Brother Sui An messaged me earlier on and said, "Brother Teo, you have to attend to her because she is breaking down or going cuckoo already." It seems Brother Sui An also can sense it. She kept on wanting to talk, to tell me her problem, like how they mistreated her, how they harassed her, and how they subject her to so much fear. Then I told her a very simple truth. You can have the understanding of who you are, what you are, and you are very clear about your rights, then you need not fear. Who fear? Only people who don't understand and who are deluded have fear. The thought projection creates fear. The thought that doesn't understand develops fear. When things go your way, how come there is no fear? When you cannot understand and when things don't go your way, how come you develop tremendous fear? After I had explained this to her, she still could not understand. But she did maintain contact with Brother Sui An. What happened was, when she contacted Brother Sui An, she started to harass Brother Sui An, until Brother Sui An also had no choice But to create a group chat on WhatsApp for the three of us, he forwarded her stressful message to me. She kept on telling Brother Suya what the company was going to do to her and all those stressful and fearful depressive thoughts. And she was not listening to any of the advice at all. So Brother Suya forwarded them to me. If I were to read them like what Brother Suyan did, I might not have a good holiday in Macau. But because of my understanding, I was still able to have a very good holiday in Macau. I didn't really want to reply to her because point. Then later on the last day before I came back, I thanked them saying, I'm still overseas. I will only be back tomorrow. Then what happened was, after I came back, I wrote in the WhatsApp group the same advice I gave her earlier on. That is, do not arise the fear, maintain calm, and have clarity of mind to resolve all this issue amicably with understanding. I was hoping she could remember my advice, but she couldn't. Again, immediately after that, she said, I must see you. Then the problem starts again. Boom, boom, boom. She continued her own way. I said, if you continue to panic and do that, you will never get to understand your problem. And you can never overcome your problem. So no point seeing me. I then wrote to her and said, if you are free and willing to listen, you can drop by to discuss your so-called problem. When you understand, there is no problem. When you don't understand, you have serious big problem. Then luckily, she agreed to come over. So last night, she made an appointment to come over at 8 p.m. But she wanted to bring a friend because she was scared. It was a very close friend, good and close friend, who received a lot of headache from her recently. She was a university friend, and they had been together for very long. What happened was, they came a bit late, arriving at 8:30, because she needed to fetch her friend. They were so surprised because my terrace house was so big, and they commented, wow, your house is so big, two units joined together, I said. Yes, that's why it has space, it has clarity. Otherwise, like your brain, crowded with so much problem inside, hence no space, no clarity. You are clouded by your fear, your worry, your anxiety, and your problem. I then asked her to sit down to discuss her problem. Again, before I could explain, she kept on repeating like a tape recording those things that were haunting her or causing her fear and panic attack. Luckily, her good friend was there. Then I explained to her again. I reminded her again and again. Did you really read what I wrote to you and what I advised you? I said, don't allow the fear, worry, and anxiety to grip you and terrorize you. Because this will not solve your problem, will not help you. Again, she continued, but letting out her so-called problem again, I reminded her and said, are you listening? If you are not listening, you might as well go home. Because you come here to seek advice and you are not listening. If you think your own way can help you solve your problem, then go back. But because you have been doing this for so long and you have become so miserable, it means you are not, it is not helping you at all. Then I bring out the analogy of a red hot iron ball. If this thing, the wrong thought, is tormenting you, burning you out, and making you so miserable, then why are you still holding on to it, lamenting and crying over it, thus making you so fearful and so miserable? If you have been listening and you understand all this, then you, what must you do? Put it down, right? Don't hold on to the red hot thing anymore. Calm yourself down, develop clarity of mind so that you are more aware, so that you can ask yourself, what are my options? How can I move? Then you can apply the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve whatever issue amicably so that people, everybody is happy. If you understand all this, you will not have any problem at all. After that, the friend understood and told her not to panic. I said to her, if you just tell her this, it is not going to work. It's of not much use. Even I tried to let her understand, but she was not listening because she had OCD, obsessive and compulsive disorder, mental disorder problem. Her obsessive and compulsive thoughts keep on coming and they have become very intrusive. That was a sign of serious depression, I told her. You are already in depression. Then she said, yeah, I know. Then I said, sooner or later, there will be suicidal thoughts. She replied. She said, not yet, I'm not that stupid. Later on, I came to understand that she had other related problems too, like boyfriend's problem, character problem, harassing colleagues' problem, etc. It was a very good sharing that night, but too bad because the advice given to her that night was not recorded. I questioned her, why must you panic and have so much fear? Why can't you just calm yourself down? Of course, as usual, she will tell me how the company mistreated her and wanted to do all those things to her. Threaten her, give her a warning letter, and threaten to dismiss her and force her to sign the dismissal letter. I told her, okay, if you receive all this, if you don't want, if you don't have clarity of mind, if you are full of fear, worry, anxiety, how can you act? You are incapable of decision or action. And she kept on telling me, she got an auntie. My auntie say this, my auntie say that. Then I reminded her, if what your auntie advise you work, then you will not be in this state of mind. Do you understand? So forget about what your auntie said and don't quote her anymore. Forget about what your office has said and what they will do to you, because all these are wrong talk. The more you think, the more fear you will have and you will become more miserable. So what must you do? She still didn't get the message. Then I asked her, do you have a piece of paper? You better write down all this advice one by one, otherwise you won't learn. The first thing you must do is don't panic. Don't allow fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation to grip you. She started to write all this down. The second point is learn to develop this ability to calm yourself down, to develop the positive energy field within. Where all this fear, worry, anxiety are very negative energy. Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation will lead to stress because they are part of the three evil roots, roots of all evil that makes you evil and miserable. And this negative energy will set the condition for negative karma to arise and you will become worse. That is what you did to people in the past. Now conditions have arisen and you become the victim. If you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, you will have to go through this suffering. What you have done to others earlier on, you don't understand. If you need to ask for forgiveness, then you ask for forgiveness. That's the reason why I gave her the chanting book. Then I advise her to learn meditation. We are giving her the blue transcript book. I also gave her a copy of the seminar book to read so that she could understand life better. Then the last thing I advised her was to learn the teachings of the Buddha via reading the book The Ancient Path by Venerable Piyadasi. A friend also wanted those books. I said to her, you have to develop the proper understanding in order to solve your problem. You will keep on panicking via having all this fear, worry, anxiety. It will not help you. The third point is very simple. When you have calmed yourself down, you will have clarity of mind. Then you can ask yourself, is there a real problem? What are my rights? What have I done? Have I done anything seriously wrong, like breaching the company's rules or society's rule that can allow them to act against me, to dismiss me? Otherwise, it's wrongful dismissal. So you don't have to worry, and you can be rest assured that you will be well compensated by the industrial court. You don't have to worry about what happened. For you have worked with them for 10 years. Your rights are enshrined then. Did they give you an appointment letter? She said yes. They put you under probation for how long? 3 to 6 months? Did they pass their probation? She said yes. They also confirmed you on the job, right? And you have worked for 10 years and nothing has happened to you. You didn't receive any warning letter. You only recently, this type of thing started. So you just have to reply in a very simple manner. We are saying, for your information, I was confirmed on this job after going through probation, which means you accepted me based on my qualification and experience, and you are happy with my performance because for the last 10 years, I have got no issue with the company. There was no warning letter or any letter to that effect. Only recently, I didn't know what really happened. There has been a lot of this thing going on, warning letter, etc. But as far as I'm concerned, I do not agree with what is written in your warning letter. I have tried my very best based on my qualification and experience. If I have tried my best, you cannot wrongfully dismiss me just because you say I have failed to perform or failed to deliver. All these are what you say. As far as I'm concerned, my training and qualification are like that, and I have tried my best. That's it. According to her, they asked her to deliver things that was beyond her capability because she didn't have such experience and training before, and she could not handle because there was no training given to her. So I told her, that is not your job scope. You can ignore what they tell you because you don't agree with all those unreasonable accusations. You can reply to them via telling them, if you want me to do all those work, you can. You better promote me and send me for training and equip me with the necessary skill and understanding. Then I will try my best to deliver. You cannot just dismiss me over such unreasonable reason. This is wrongful dismissal, meaning they try to remove you without any valid or proper reason. So I told her, when you understand all this, you don't have to panic. You don't have to be fearful unless you have done something wrong. Even if you have done something wrong, you don't have to worry too much because the past is already gone. You have to move on. Then only she told me her other office problem involving her so-called boyfriend. She said in the office she used to have a boyfriend. Then I said, wait, don't make it so complicated. Boyfriend means who? She said, my boyfriend, Is she also a colleague? Or is he also a colleague who worked in your office? He said, yes. That's how the whole thing started. It seems she told the boyfriend certain things. Then there was a misunderstanding. Then the boyfriend decided to avoid her. She then called and texted her boyfriend nearly 400 times a day, until her boyfriend also got fed up with her and threatened to report her to management for doing all those harassing things. I then say, hey, that is too complicated because you never tell me the whole truth. You created such a big problem yourself. She toned down after that, and even her friend who came with her that night laughed and said she had a lot more such problems. Whatever it is, luckily she heard what I said. Since these things already happened, even if you have breached the company's policy, also there is no problem because what you need to do was to resolve it amicably. Then she started to tell me the whole story. She said the boyfriend actually took advantage of her, played her out on many occasions, wanted money from her. And when she refused, he started ignoring her. Then I said, since you already know all this, why did you still allow yourself to be taken advantage of? Who can you blame? When you understand what is going on, then you better wake up and determine to end all this misery. Work is work, relationship is separate matter. She then said, I call him only after office hour. I advise her, whether during office hour or after office hour is the same, because when there is misunderstanding, they will react. So what is important is, if you need to serve or severe this relationship, then severe it. Then accept him for what he is. Don't hate him. Don't get angry. Don't get yourself entangled with what had happened. Solve your problem one by one. Then I continue to brief her further. If you separate these two issues and don't allow them to entangle you, can you solve your problem now? She started to develop the understanding. We are saying, oh yes, I do have my rights as an employee. Now I know. I don't have to panic. Huh? Then after that, I can apply for another job. I then told her the industrial court, maybe after 10 years, award you the compensation for unlawful dismissal. If you win the case, all the salary plus interest, you have to pay to them. They will have to pay to you. And it can be a big sum of money. So it's maybe like your pension or windfall coming. So why do you panic? This is the best outcome because your chance of winning the case is very high. If they can dismiss you, it's the best. She then said, yes, I want to check with the industrial court. Later she told me the industrial court also said to wait until they dismiss her, then only go and see them. Otherwise, no point. So she started to calm down. Then within 1.5 hours or so, she was feeling so much better. I could see the change in her condition, and I told her, at least now you look so much better than when you just stepped into my house. Then she started to smile. After that, she and her friend were very happy. It was so visible. Then she looked at the clock and said, wow, 10 p.m. already. She needed to send her friend back. So I told her, if you have really understood the problem, then you can go. Remember the 3 points you wrote down. Don't panic, do not react, and all those things. And don't go and allow the negative thought to continue to haunt you, grip you, and paralyze you. Calm yourself down. Then she said, that's the reason why I like to listen to your Dhamma talk. The Dhamma talk at SGBA was very good, but I didn't really listen. I said, you thought you listened, but you didn't really listen. These are the sharing and understanding that can help people. Her case was only one of the many discussed. In Macau, there was another lady, also a long time in depression. But after they saw how our sister Alicia, who was 16 years in depression, turned around after just listening to my Dhamma sharing, they were in disbelief. Even the Filipino friend of hers also was very impressed to see the sudden change in her. He also heard it from Freddie, Alicia's husband, how Alicia turned around and became so beautiful after that. Their longtime Filipino friend Teddy was also very keen to talk to me when he finally met me in Macau. He came over from Philippines. He's a Catholic Christian. He said to me, "I heard you teach Dhamma." I said, "Yes." Then I inquired, "Are you a Buddhist?" He said, "No, I'm a Catholic." Then he said, "You have done wonders because Alicia recovered so beautifully, and I heard a lot about you. I want to understand more. He likes good food and he likes to drink too. So over dinner, he asked me many questions. The way I answered him did impress him very much. He then suggested to Alicia's husband, Freddie, he said, "I think the next time I come to Malaysia, we don't have to go drinking anymore. Instead, we go and attend Brother Teo's Dhamma talk." That was the most beautiful sharing because he used his Christian teaching to ask me questions, and he was a very nice guy, very open-minded. He said he liked to read other religious book too. He only believed in one thing, he said. Whatever it is, he will not harm, cheat, or deceive others. He will only be good to everyone. I said, "Sadhu, that's a real religious person. And you can do that. You are truly religious. You don't have to worry about what that religious label you carry. The religious label is not important." But he said this was deep in him. He can never cheat, deceive, or harm people. That's how he lived his life. That's why his life was good. I say it's because you follow the advice of Jesus, the embodiment of Jesus' love and compassion, and you keep his commandments. He said, "Yes, the commandments are very good. The commandments can be summarized into one word, love. Love thy neighbor, love everyone." I said, "Wow, you are very wise. If you understand true love, you will have no more problem with life." Then he smiled. So Teddy is indeed a very wise Christian. We can learn from all this. These are all Dhamma, daily life Dhamma, day-to-day Dhamma. So always remember, do not panic, do not create mental negativity. That is what mindfulness is all about. When you are mindful, you have clarity and you don't have thoughts, which means you don't project into the future or the past. Then you will have no fear, no worry, no anxiety. There cannot be any sorrow or lamentation. Then you won't land yourself into unnecessary negativity or mind states, such as depression or problem. You will be beautiful. But Dhamma can play a great role to help you understand life and overcome all your life problems and situations. Okay, we shall read on so that you can understand better. Okay. I think we will stop here, page 21, last paragraph, before we continue the sharing. We will have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay. We will off the light. Then you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind, silent everything, maintain awareness for as long as you can, then develop the awareness-based meditation, stabilize your awareness. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then this is the mind state that you need to use while you live life, to cultivate the daily mindfulness, and at the same time to maintain heedfulness so that you are always mindful and aware throughout the day. Okay, we will continue from last paragraph of page 21. So now you understand. Spending too much time scheming, planning, following mundane way of solving problems, and thinking negatively, and thinking negative thoughts, or random and heedless thoughts, are a very wastage of mental energy. Also, a very stressful activity or process. This type of negative thinking or heedless thinking can also make you anxious and harmful. This is happening to most people in the world. That's why that lady said, people who have suffering, their mental states are more or less the same. They think and think and think and they project their thoughts. Recall the unhappy past, their scars of memory, and they become miserable. And this poor book of mine with the title Emptiness explains a lot on this topic. Coming back to the Star newspaper's write-up on mindfulness, it continues below. So this, I will read through the write-up first. Having mindfulness or developing mindfulness exercises can help you direct your attention away from all those kind of heedless thinking and engage with the world around you. So this is what they are trying to advise people, but how many people understand? That's why they have the very important pointers there, but they didn't explain how this can be done. So they just say, if you develop your mindfulness, then you can avoid all this heedless thinking, and you can engage with the world with a clear mind. You are more sensitive to life. It can have many possibilities and possible benefits, including reducing your stress, your anxiety and depression. Less negative thinking and distraction will improve your emotion and your moods. There are several ways to practice mindfulness. So here they contradict themselves where they don't understand. Because mindfulness cannot be practiced. Towards the end, we use the word several ways. To practice mindfulness again. Please remember, mindfulness cannot be practiced. It should be how to develop mindfulness. It's through understanding. Paying attention is the first way, which is a very good way to develop mindfulness. Then the next time you meet somebody, this is what most people don't do. To develop the art of listening. Remember, I shared this in one of the house dana, I think Sister Nancy's house. During our Tuesday class discussion, go and listen to that recording on the art of listening. Yes, it's based on that book. The next time you meet someone, do listen closely to his or her words. Think about their meaning. The correct word should be listen attentively. Don't go and use the word think about their meaning. Don't go and think, just listen attentively. Then you will understand. Understanding through attentive listening is different from thinking about what is being spoken. Can you all see the difference? You better make sure you can see the difference. When you listen and think, what happens? It means you are not listening anymore because you are thinking. Preoccupied with what he has said and try to develop your understanding via comparing it with your memories. When you are doing all this thinking, you are lost in thought, preoccupied with all this thinking. Hence, you can never be attentive anymore. You are not listening anymore. That's why you don't go and think. You just listen. Can you understand? It seems that tiny can't. Then never mind. Just let it pass. Then listen attentively again. So this art of listening is very unique and very important. Only people with awareness, mindfulness, they can listen attentively. The art of listening. When you listen, you just listen. You don't arise any thinking. Just attentive and just listen. That is how you listen. You don't go and react. Don't go and comment. Don't do all those funny judgment, etc. Just listen. That's the reason why the words they use here are not correct. Thinking about their meaning is not the art of listening. Because if you do that, you start to create thought, so you cannot be attentive. So they contradict themselves without knowing. Forget about the thinking. Just listen. When you are aware, you listen from your heart. That is the art of listening. When you can understand, you will understand what I mean. If you cannot, never mind. We are at the moment, I think, at that time, most of them have not developed the stability of mindfulness. But if you want to contemplate and reflect on what they say, you can do it later. After the sharing, to develop the second turning contemplative wisdom. Then it said, aim to develop a bit of understanding others. Sorry, habit. Huh? Aim to develop a habit of understanding others. Ah, see, this one is correct, but it is not a habit. It is understanding. Because when you listen, you have an open mind so that you can understand what is being conveyed by the message. Forget about right and wrong. Just listen. When you are attentive, there is no thought. There is only clarity. Then you understand whether what is being spoken has meaning or not, relevant or not. When you do that more and more, more and more, you will transform from a heedless way of listening to become different. Meaning you have developed the art of listening via heedfulness. You become more heedful, less heedless. You shift over to heedful living, listening with heedfulness, walking, standing, turning, and whatever you do in life. You can maintain your daily mindfulness. You are heedful most of the time. You are no longer heedless like before. That's the reason why paying attention and being attentive is a good training to develop mindfulness. That's also the reason why the Buddha says standing away, walking away, bending, stretching, turning, seeing also away. Be attentive at all times. Don't try to know. Just do this training until it becomes a part of you. And you will understand many things naturally. When sati is there, everything can be understood. Remember this sentence. For sati is life. When sati is there, everything can be understood. Without sati, very difficult. Here, they still don't understand the real meaning of sati. That's why they still use words that contradict themselves, but it's already not so bad. So I read again. The aim of developing a habit of understanding, so I put in the bracket, it shouldn't be habits. Aim to develop a habit of understanding through listening is not through thinking. They also use this word. And delaying your judgment or criticism. So all this, they are contradicting themselves, but they don't know. So that's why I advise at that time, the Kayamita, forget about delaying. Don't even criticize or judge who is trying to be right, who is trying to judge. The egoic mind, the personality that still holds on to a view and opinion is there. But when you can accept them for what they are, you don't have to judge. You don't have to react. You don't have to do all those funny things or criticize them because they are just the way they are. Hence, no right and no wrong. And you just accept them for what they are. And what do you mean by acceptance? Acceptance is peace, not reacting, not commenting, not judging, because you accept them for what they are. Sorry, because you accept them for what they are. So acceptance brings about clarity, brings about peace, for you no longer blame, react, and do all those reactive judgment anymore. You are at peace. When you are at peace, there is clarity. Then you can act and you can move. You can live life. That's how a hateful person lives life. Or a hateful living being lives life. Not to be clouded by all this. Give meaning. Getting yourself entangled, create through your thinking, via your sankhara, your views, your opinion, and your reaction to what you hear, what you see, what you smell, what you taste, and what you technically feel and think. So these are your response. When you are not mindful, you have a lot of reaction in your mind states. Then you have a lot of duality, movement, negativity or judgment and dialogue within your own mental. This is what sankhara is all about. This is what attachment, craving, clinging, grasping are all about. That's how the five aggregates of form and mind becomes grasping aggregate. They are no longer pure aggregates. Then there is this question, what do you mean by pure aggregates? It means when you feel, you just feel. When you perceive, you just perceive. Only the pure perception. Just be with it, attentive, and be silent within. Then you will understand many things. Your understanding doesn't come from the thought. It's an awakening. When you are silent, you will understand because there is clarity. You will know how to function as a, how you function as a human being, how your mind stirs into all those negativity of mind state, then how the dependent origination comes to be, how the teaching comes to be. So all this Dhamma, you will understand them when you have developed the daily mindfulness, the silent mind. I will read on. The second advice is, make the familiar new again. This is very important. Can you understand this? Make the familiar new again. How many of you don't understand this? Just like those things, or your daily routine that you are very familiar with. Every day you do it. You tend to take for granted. Like when you wake up, you will heedlessly, without mindfulness, go to your washroom or toilet. Every day you are in a rush. Even when brushing your teeth, you tend to think a lot and you are hardly mindful of the moment in silent awareness, worrying about what to do after office. Must go there, buy what, deliver what, drink what, see who, attend to what, and etc. What are you doing? These are all familiar old things, and you have been doing it so habitually. They are habitual tendency for so long, and you are very mechanical. You don't know what is going on because there is hardly any awareness or mindfulness at all. So the advice, make the familiar new again, means every moment, every instant, everything you want to do, like even ringing this bell or drinking a cup of tea or whatever it is, do it like it is new experience. You don't go and allow these memories and have your tendency to make you mechanical. Mechanical means you are thinking, you are lost in thought, and you just do it like a machine, mechanically, automatically, or what they call reflex action. Sometimes when you do it so mechanically, you don't even know, like when you go into the car and how you reach your office, that it, because it has become a part of your habitual tendency or routine. That's why when you don't have mindfulness or heedfulness, you will not be able to have the ability to be with the moment, to live life, to understand life, and to develop the mindfulness training in life. I will read this to you so that you can develop the understanding. Find a few small familiar objects such as toothbrush, apple, or cell phone in your home or office. Look at the object with a fresh eye. Identify one new detail about each object you didn't see before. This suggestion by them is a very good way of understanding sati. In true sati cultivation, there is no need for you to slow down and look as per their suggestion. No need. Just be attentive. What does this mean? When your hand is about to go out, hand and mind move as one and attentively observe how your hand moves and pick things up. Then when you want to understand it, you really look at it. When you drink the same cup of coffee, you drink with the silent mind without thought running all over. Then you are really tasting the coffee, and this coffee is ever refreshing. Even if the person makes it differently, you will know whether the coffee beans used is what particular type. You will know and how much sugar, etc. Because of the silence, you can taste it with clarity, very clearly. Then everything you see is very pristine. It's like you are looking at it for the first time. You are looking at the whole thing. You don't look with the words and the concept. This one is very important. Eh? Looking with the words and the concept is you are not looking at the reality anymore. You think you look. You think you know. But it is the concept. A lot of people do that. Like when they hold on to the microphone, they assume the word microphone is what they know. So they never look at the microphone. Oh, the same example I give. Huh? Like this microphone, you take for granted microphone, the word and the concept will prevent you from truly observing this microphone. Microphone as a word is an image, a concept which you create, and is not a reality. When I say I see things as they are without the words, it means I see everything without the words and the labeling or image. Then I will have clarity. That's why he said, look for new details. Actually, it's not new detail, because when you really look at this thing without the words and the concept, It is the direct seeing or seeing things as they are. And this type of seeing is very different. But when you look at it without attentively observing it, when you see, what you see is just the image, which you take for granted. Ah, microphone, that's it. You will not look at the details. That's it. You didn't look clearly because you are contented with the image you saw. Even the art piece hanging on the wall or whatever, you didn't really look. But when you are attentive and you look, the whole of the art piece become very different. Because when you look attentively with the silent mind, you can see all the pristine beauty as they are. In other words, it's just pure perception, leading to understanding. Everything is like new, that is not accumulated in memory. Then if you don't go and compare, you will see it as a completely new thing. But human beings like to compare. And the very comparison is from the memory. If you are aware of this arising of memory, you are still being aware. But if you are not aware of the action that the mind is going through, then you are completely lost in thought, heedless. All this are deeper understanding. We shall go on. Focusing on your breathing, sit in a quiet place with your back straight but relaxed. Feel your breath move in and move out of your lungs. Let your awareness and everything else fall away. So again, they use the word focus and feel the breath, etc. When the mind wanders off, you are supposed to gently redirect your attention back to your breath. Can you remember the instruction? The moment mind wanders off, bring it back. Just maintain awareness in front of your nostril so that the moment the mind detects the breath, you can develop anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breathing. That is breathing in aware, breathing out aware without thought. But they didn't give such detailed explanation. That's why you cannot do it. If you try to follow their instruction or their approach, chances are you will interpret it differently. Their instructions are, you are simply being aware of what's happening around you, breath by breath. This is not anapanasati. For anapanasati is just awareness or mindfulness of the in and out breath. You are not trying to be aware of everything around you, but just awareness of the in and out breath. That is just to train your mind to be aware, to anchor it to the breath. This is part of the kaya. But they forgot the actual teaching. They never go back and check it out. What is the teaching all about? The Buddha explained very clearly. Why are you not peaceful? Why are you not able to be aware, to be in the meditative state of sati or awareness? It is because of the mental hindrance. And mental hindrance arises because you lack the spiritual faculties. These are not thought. That's the reason why they cannot link the teaching. If you know that you are heedless, you think a lot, you are not peaceful, and you cannot be mindful, it's because of the mental hindrance which have become habitual tendency. Then what must you do? And all these are not taught, not shared. That's the reason why you cannot develop the understanding. You just read. Then I advise you to develop the skillful means of to decondition your heedless thinking. That's how the mind sweeping method comes in. That's how metta meditation comes in to be develop inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then only the mind can be peaceful, calm and quiet. Then you can anchor it to any skillful means like anapanasati or whatever methods or technique. Of meditation to stabilize the mindfulness, and all this should be taught. That's the reason why you cannot develop what they are trying to tell you. Okay, I better stop here, huh? Because it's already 5:15. Huh? Okay, we stop here. Page 30. Okay, we are now open for our meditation reporting.
Yeah, good evening, Brad Teo, Mr. Teo, and all Kalamitas. Firstly, I would like to thank all Brad Teo and all Kalamitas for their good vision.
Yeah. Good wishes,
for my sisters, for a successful operation and full recovery. Brad Teo, I would like to take this opportunity also to share my my feelings and my take of this experience itself.
Very good.
I find that it is a very important experience, especially in our Dharma cultivation.
Yes.
Firstly, of course, it's the experiencing of the First Noble Truth. We have to accept that whatever arises will have to cease.
Will come to pass.
So the body being the body will be of the nature will grow old, get sick, and
die,
and pass away. It or not, we have to accept that. But how we accept it is what going to make our life easier or more difficult.
Sadhu, very good. Yes.
It is always, like you always mentioned, it is always easy to advise people. But when it happens to us, we have to look deeply and see how our mind stirs. And how you see the negativity keep arising.
Yes, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, then the attachment, the movement inside there. That is what Dhamma is. If you cannot see all this, then you don't understand life. You don't understand yourself. Very good, Vijay Sadhu. That's why you have this ability, because you have the stability of the Dhamma. Then when it happened to you, even your sister's case or what, you are very calm. The way you write is very good. You have done what you need to do. You didn't go and panic. And you seek me to ask us to share merits after the class, which is very good, very wholesome. Then I had this understanding, because I can feel that you understand. That's why I also did the radiation earlier on. Then I knew the Kanyamita, if they can do it before the class, it will help, because we did too many people. Last night, Chi Wei's son also said, Chi Wei also did the right thing. That's why he did a very good approach to what happened. He was very calm. He was in Thailand actually, and that time I knew, because when I received the message from Brother Sui An, then I saw what was written. Then he wrote to me. Brother Chi Wei wrote to me and requested me to ask Kayamita to help radiate metta and give him the pure vision, the blessing, and help to bring about causes and conditions for the son's surgery or operation to become successful and for a speedy and peaceful recovery. So all those things, she made the request, and the sharing of marriage, everything. That's why actually the son went through a very, very critical operation. And later, of course, also the wife, Mrs. Xia Chi Wei. So all these are very important understanding we are cultivating. So for your case, also the same. That's how I feel. If I were to send this out to my Kanyamita, because our Kanyamita force are different now. A lot of them have this understanding and joy, and they have their nature, their practice, their cultivation. So when collectively they read and send, it has its potency. So far, so good. That's why Acharya also know when he needs something very important, what he will get Kayamita to help to participate in all this. Planting of the Bodhi tree or whatever, for whatever thing to be smooth and all those things. Even last time, I remember their Katina, they hope it will not have problem, rain and all those things. So they ask us to share marriage and radiate metta and all those things, which is so far doing very well. And personally, I also can feel, because whenever my nature do all this, it has this effect. But it also needs causes and conditions. Without proper causes and conditions behind, sometimes no point, it doesn't help. So salute to you, PG, for having this understanding and sharing today's with us. You continue, yeah, PG.
Yeah, Bertil. At this time, when I see my thoughts going the negative way, I have to be heedful and bring my thoughts to think of all the positive thoughts and continue with the sending of metta to her.
Yes.
Because otherwise, the negative thoughts are not going to help anybody. Okay.
It will proliferate and make you negative.
Yes.
It will create all the fear, worry, anxiety, all the things. Then this one will project itself some more. Very good.
I have to be thankful in the way that my niece also has the Dharma, and
she was also
able to accept it, because she was the one who arranged all this. Take my sister to the hospital and all that.
Yeah, your niece is very good. The one you have to raise, very good daughter. And as a niece, she really successful in her career, and she know how to do all that. Actually, it's not easy. It's like my son. When I was going through that angel phase, 8 over years ago, he checked the internet and he contact, he sent out SOS and he get all the contact. That's why I got the best medical advice from him. Then when we decide on the doctor and other things, the doctor, Dr. Wong, that did the operation for me, told me, he said, Brother Theo, he said, your son, really, I thought he's a medical student. He knows so many things about the medical thing. I said, no, he's an IT guy. He read them up, he do research. Yeah, he said, but he talk very professional and he has a lot of understanding, which is very good. I think your niece is similar in character. Yeah, very good. So you continue,
Brother Theo, you see, the night before my sister was admitted, she was already not feeling, she was actually feeling quite terrible. The migraine was getting very bad, which we didn't realize is actually one of the very
common symptoms. Yes.
So luckily my niece was keep checking on her for every few hours. And early in the morning they decided that they have to go to the hospital because
the CT scan, very important.
So at 5 o'clock in the morning, Brad Till.
Yeah.
5 o'clock in the morning, they had no choice. They went to Glen Eagles. And like I said earlier, there was no ICU bed. But one of the doctors was kind enough to check all the hospitals. This is somebody that we have to thank. Who was very helpful and managed to get one in the GH.
GH
is now a full COVID hospital. We had no choice.
There was
the only bed available, and sadly, it was available because somebody passed away.
That's why
the bed suddenly become available. We both agreed that it is a good parami for this to happen. If she did not get into the hospital at that time, she would have passed away. She was really unconscious,
Correct. This one, very fast one. Very, very fast.
So likewise, when we see this thing happening, Brazil, our cultivation really comes into
play.
Play, yes. We see karma in action. Okay?
Yeah, very Brazil, clearly. Yeah.
We see our how our cultivation help us to deal with all this. Like then it's like the rest you have to leave to your karma.
Yeah.
We have done what we can do, and then the rest is
because the rest will depend on how the karmic play out. But
it's really beyond our control already.
As an individual, your cultivation also help, because if your knees don't have the cultivation, he will not be able to have that clarity of mind to act, and also that dhamma to out of love for the mother to arrange for all this. This one need fast action one. When you see the importance of it, you really act like my son. He know it's important. That's why he go and check. He give up everything and he send out SOS to all the friends, the colleague, all. Then finally, somebody in Singapore responded, say, you go and see my uncle. He said, my uncle is the heart surgeon, head of the hospital heart division. Then my son contacted him. My son also contacted Glen Eagle, then another very famous hospital also. So he found three and he discussed with me. He said, out of these three, you have to decide on one. Then I look. Then I decide to go for the friend's uncle because I saw the CV very matching and I can send something. Then I went with him. Then I was full of joy and confident after that because he happened to be a Buddhist. He's from 1 year, Dr. Wong. Then when he discussed the thing with me, I can sense he is very sincere. He's a very good doctor, very experienced, very confident. Then he explained to me many things. He even, not greedy, he even suggested to me, he said, Mr. Teo, since your wife is a government servant, you can actually go to IJN, it's free. You don't have to do it here. I mean, for a private hospital, who tell you that thing is the doctor is not for money, and means he really give you proper advice. So I told him, don't worry about that. I need professional advice, people who really know all this. Then I said, whatever charges that you want to charge me, I think this is something I can afford, so I don't mind. Because he told me it's going to cost about 30,000. I said, okay, 30,000, I think I can afford. So because of that, I make the decision. Then I straight away told him, okay, I will make that decision to go through the operation and I want you to do it. Then I say, what is the earliest date you can give to me? So he straight away checked his schedule and said, okay, next week, Tuesday. That's how I get it done and everything turned out fine. And the good thing about him, he told me before he do every operation, he will chant the Buddhist chant, Satta Bhujanga. This is what they call the seven factors of enlightenment. Then after that, he somehow shared with me, he will for one day take vegetarian before he do that operation. So he has such affinity. Then I saw in his room, the clinic there, one Achancha's poster. That's why I asked him straight away, I said, are you a Buddhist? He said, yeah. He said, I am a Buddhist. I said, Ajahn Chah. Then he was very surprised. Oh, you know Ajahn Chah? I said, I know. Yeah, he's a very good Thai Dhamma teacher, Dhamma master. That's why all this will fall into place. So same for you, your niece case. Yeah. Sadhu to you, PG. You can continue, sorry for interrupting.
Okay. Okay, brother, first of all, I'd like to clarify my sister that is in the hospital is not my niece's mother.
Oh, not the niece.
It's another sister.
Wow, even more fantastic. Not the mother also, she take care and this so well. Huh? Oh, sadhu. That's really sadhu. Yeah, that's really sadhu.
We as sisters have lived together for...
Oh, means very close.
As, as long as she's...
Yeah,
she's with us,
you see. Oh, okay. No wonder. Yeah.
Brother, I just want to tell you about something that a few days before my sister's this incident, listening to one of your talks. That states that the four stages of life. Also the what was the other one?
Four phase cycle.
Four phase cycle and I forgot already about something else.
Never mind, it's okay.
Now then I was telling myself the four stage cycle, I think then I said what would it take to stir the mind of a true cultivator.
Sadhu.
I asked myself this question.
Sadhu.
And the question and the answer came out very quickly. Your loved ones.
Yeah, la, closest to you.
Yeah, your loved ones. Yes. Because of, after that, I remember the Bratio discussing that at that time when you were in that part of your cultivation.
Yeah, I was tested. Both my mother and my son, they have something happened to them. So it was a test,
That's why that came to mind also. So, Bertil, this is like something I never expected.
It's a test for you. There you are ready.
So fast, Bertil.
Yeah.
Like within a few days only, Bertil.
It was so swift.
And how to say very tough. Very tough
because when you go through this phase as a cultivator, you will know where you have the awareness. Then you can see your mind state. Like you say, initially the negativity of thought starts to wants to come out already. Then straight away you know. Then you know how to calm down. Then you know how to reflect, contemplate, and do what you need to do. So we have to accept. That's why you mentioned the word acceptance is very important. When you accept that reality, you don't go and think of all those not reality. Non-reality means, why didn't they take care? Why nobody know? Why nobody even say anything about what happened? So all those, no more reality. The reality is happened already. Then we accept the reality, then we develop the understanding to move, to find out the best option and what else can we do to actually turn the situation around. So this understanding you will have, that's why you were able to handle all this. That's why it's a good test. The test will always come on. And for you, it's very fast, really, very fast. You just understood all this not long ago.
Brother, I also would like to thank Brother Song.
Yeah.
It was actually Brother Song who told me that BG, you have to do more sharing now.
Yes. Very true. Where you are in that position to share, then now your understanding has stabilized, has developed into a stage where you can start to share, which is very good.
Actually, I am quite surprised that no doubt my feelings are stirred, Bratio.
But I can still
be heedful enough to keep my thoughts in
peace
and especially not allowing the negative feelings to
proliferate, to continue to create.
Okay, can I share something else? During the 15th day of the just we just passed the Mooncake Festival.
Ah, Yes.
Okay, that being the full moon day, I told myself when I did my religious routine,
Oh, I told myself,
okay, today, please do more chanting.
Wow,
So I decided to do the Mangala Sutta.
Oh,
And
very
also
good.
Then I told myself, oh, being a full moon day, do the Dhammacakka Pavattana.
Pavattana Sutta, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I did the Mangala Sutta, I feel very happy. Okay.
Oh, sadhu. So
when I do the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, when I finish the chanting towards the last one,
yeah,
where you have the third turning, Brachio.
Wow, sadhu.
The third turning, when it says that we have understood the second noble truth.
Cessation of dukkha has been understood, yes.
But when I read the last one, the Brachio, that the cultivation has been the Noble Eightfold Path has been cultivated. Brachio, my heart stirs like hell.
Sadhu.
Cry.
Wow, sadhu. Very good.
I don't know what to take from this, okay? Because my understanding of Dharma is like so new,
yeah,
Brachio.
But you already have understanding, which you doesn't know. Yeah.
Strange things have been happening, Brachio.
Yeah, it will continue to happen because you are at that phase. The song is right. You should share more because you will go through that phase.
It's like every time I do my religious routine, sometimes things just pop out and I cannot understand what it is.
Yeah. Because these are the signs that will come to you. These are the understanding that the cultivator will receive. But initially, where you are new, like you say, is very new to you. So a lot of these things, you may not be familiar. But because you heard about earlier sharing and all those things, that's why you start to develop some form of understanding. So this is very important. All the Kayamita from now onward, they will have the benefit of all this sharing because this will make people understand that the path towards Dhamma cultivation is very meaningful, very beautiful, and a lot of things will happen. That's why when you go through this phase, you will understand. Then later on when you share, you will know the beauty of the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma, how it unfolds. And this is how it unfolds. It will come and test you. Then it will keep on giving rise to understanding when you reflect, when you contemplate. Then insight will tell you, today is full moon day, you will need to do chanting. Then you will choose Mangala Sutta. Then you choose Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta. All this will come. Even that day early on, I remember one of the Kayamita, if I'm not wrong, is I think Joyce. She also has this strong inner longing. Asked me to allow her to chant or group chanting during one of our classes, the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta. Oh, I was very surprised. I said, that's good. I said, it will take very long. Yeah, he said, normal, take 45 minutes. But he said he can do the fast one. He said he can cut short the time and all those things. So I say, let things be. So all this will happen. Biji, sadhu to you.
I admit, just like Brother Song says, Fiji, all this will happen.
Yeah.
You just accept them and no need to think much further about it.
Right, yes. Part of the way, you remember? I told him, part of the way. The test will come, the sign will come. But what you must do, how you feel inside, like what you describe, all this will happen. Then later on, when you go for a spiritual trip, wow, more things will happen because your nature will move. Then it will draw, it will share, and a lot of things will happen. The condition all will fall into place. That's why that the Dhamma way is very beautiful. And when it moves, you really move. A lot of Kayamita also going through all these phases.
Yeah, there is now so much joy when I listen to the Dhamma.
So different, eh?
Yeah.
You can understand why I share all those things last time.
Yeah.
Because you have reached that point, that's why you pick it up. How the test comes on. Then you recall back, now you reflect back, it comes so fast. That's why you will go through all this. Is very beautiful.
During one of the time when I do the chanting at night, I always chant a short chant for the Kuan Yin Pusa.
Oh, Sadhu.
I do the Pali one because
the Mahakaruna.
Mahakaruna. So when I finished that, for a moment there was a shift, Brantil.
Yeah.
Very quick one. There was an image, but I couldn't see what the image.
It was flashed through. Yeah.
But the thing is, in my heart, I replied, "I understand."
Yeah.
I understand. But then my mundane mind says, "What do you understand?"
Don't have to worry. Yeah, the inner nature will understand. Yeah.
I knew that when I say the word "I understand," it's from my inner nature.
Yeah, inner nature respond. Yeah.
Yeah, but until now, like I say, I don't understand what.
Don't worry. It will surface later on. You know that Mahakaruna chant is a very powerful chant. That one is actually linked up to not only Kuan Yin, but also the original Buddha. So the original, we call it the primordial, the first Sammasambuddha, the one in Cameron Highland. What is the name?
Virochana
Buddha is linked up. Then that Mahakaruna is a very powerful chant. So when you chant that one, all these higher beings' nature and all the devas and so on, they will rejoice. They will rejoice. Even the Mangala Sutta that you chant, well, that is the sutta about the highest blessing. How you cultivate the highest blessing. And it's all about cultivation, virtue. How you cultivate the virtue to get the highest blessing, your duty, your whatever, mindfulness and all those things. So if you can fulfill all the condition that is been expounded by the Buddha in the Mangala Sutta, means you are a real cultivator. If you have all those that is mentioned there, means you already an enlightened being. That's why when I heard that Mangala Sutta, especially the Mahamangala Sutta, that chanting was so beautiful that when I read the meaning, I can understand. I realize all those things that were mentioned there, I have. That's why I was full of joy. Then I realized, wow, this Mangala Sutta is really a great sutta. Because it's about the highest blessing. They asked the Buddha, the Deva, Deva come down and ask the Buddha, what constitutes the highest blessing? Well, then the Buddha explained one by one. Then you read through that one, you will know. It includes a lot of things about life. How you develop the virtue, the cultivation and all those things. Even having skill, then taking care of parents and all those things. They constitute the highest blessing. They're having mindfulness, heedfulness, and all those things. And constantly listening to the Dhamma, staying near a place where you can have Dhamma and all those things is a blessing. And many others, if you go and read through, you will understand. And that sutta is very beautiful. That's why the way your nature condition you to chant this is because they know it will help you. And these are the sutta that the non-humans, they like to listen. They like to listen. That's why you also realize that in our Cameron Highlands, Sambal Su annual retreat, we always get message from the non-human up there to ask our group to chant because Engby is there. And most of the time when Engby is there, she can chant very well, Mahamangala Sutta. And also the Mahakaruna, which Joyce can chant that one very well. Then we also have the other Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which we chant before. Then also the Kuan Yin one, the Om Mani Padme Hum. So all these are very beautiful understanding and condition that was surfaced. That's why you look back now, how we have all these things going around during the retreat. It was not in our program, but suddenly some kayamita, because their nature has the message, they will come and talk to me and suggest, but can we chant this? Can we chant that? Can we do this? Then also the Junti Pusawan, also same, it just came. Then many things happened there. Where that area, the nature's energy, that great beings, nature, and all the Dharma protectors, the devas, they are all over. That's why that annual retreat is one of the most beautiful spiritual activity that we were able to have for so many years. And it's also the, I think, the last 1 or 2 years we cannot have it. But hopefully next year we should be able to have the condition to have it. When we have that, it will turn out to be very beautiful. Very good, Vijay Sadhu. So yes.
Can you explain to me who is Junti Pusa? Because there was one day I got up in the morning, this word just came to me. Maha Junti Pusa.
Sadhu.
I of course I've heard of Junti Pusa. I do not know almost anything about it.
No, you go and Google, you will know, because the specialty of Junti Pusa is very wonderful. That's why her nature wants to allow us to have affinity with her, because her vow also very powerful. She has this great vow. That's why we all should also thank Brother Chia, the Singapore Brother Chia, Sandra's husband. You know, that retreat when he was there together with Sandra and us, he received the message. So the Kuan Yin like image that was below our meditation hall, that is Junti Pusa. And that nature came up and he told me Junti Pusa wants us to be like have affinity with her nature. Then I went and Google. Then I realized he is the only Bodhisattva or so far Samasambuddha that have this ability. You know, with her vow is you must chant her four how. Her four how is Junti Pusa on that time. I think we also chant. I cannot remember how the chant was. So that one, you have to chant for very, very long. It seems a few hundred thousand times. And you know its efficacy is it can clear one's karma. This is the first time I heard that great beings cultivation can vow until that nature can do that. Because like we know from the teaching, you cannot take away karma. Karma, whatever that is there, especially those that are committed between the second and sixth thought moment, not the first and seventh. They will be there forever. Wherever there is condition, it will arise. So the Buddha also knew this will be there for eternity. But it seems Junti has the ability to put it into her vow to clear people's whatever karmic that you want to clear. And it's very powerful, but not easy. You have to chant a few hundred thousand times, I remember. So you just go and count. If the chanting, even you do 3 seconds or 4 seconds or 5 seconds per chant, like Om Mani Padme Hum, maybe 3 seconds or one, you multiply by the few hundred thousand seconds, you know how many hours or how many days you have to chant. It's very long. But if you have the faith, you really can do it, then it's possible. So because of that, her nature's, his nature's ability to help living being is also very unique. That's why you have a lot of very unique beings. Their nature, they really will come and wants to give us the condition to have affinity with them, because they can sense we are serious cultivator. And Kuan Yin's nature, Virochana's nature, and a lot of other great beings' nature, they are all there. Even the four great bodhisattvas, Pu Xian, Ren Su, Tizang Wang, Kuan Si, then Maitreya, and also the Dharma protector, Wei Tong, Junti, and many others, they are all there. Okay, Biji, hope that one explain what you want to know.
Every day when I do my daily religious routine, it is very insightful,
For you, definitely, because it's going to be more and more intense and more interesting, because after you have this ability to connect and develop the understanding, then you go all out and do the daily religious routine with the Bodhisattva vow. All this is going to pave the way for you to progress very fast. That's why you can see it happening. A lot of things are happening. Then your past also connect. That's why all those cultivators who have their condition, they will come to know and must have faith. Do not underestimate what your potential is, what your past could be. That's why a lot of Kayamita last time don't believe me, and now you can see it's happening. You never know what your past is until you determine that you have the condition that it will unfold. Then when it unfolds, it will turn out very beautiful. Sometimes it's so amazing that it's beyond your wildest dream that these are possible, like Bo Cheng described. Wow, so beautiful. How come all this can happen? It's because you have the causes and conditions, and you are determined, you have the resolve, and you do it, then it will happen. Sadhu, PJ.
they do sound like fairy tales, and that's why initially I was quite reluctant to share Brazil. It can sound quite egoistic,
A lot of people would think that way. That's why I told all the Kayamita, don't worry, when the time comes you will know when to share, because a lot of them initially had this thought, don't want to like show that they are egoic, you know. No, actually it's the thought that is shy. The one that understand, they will know what this thing is. We are like the Buddha mentioned, this Dhamma is pachetang, to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So when you go through this, you more or less know what this thing is already. That's why Pu Cheng, they know. And those who went through, they know. Then they will know that this is not from the thought. This is not knowledge. This is something that you have actually realized through your cultivation and is connected to the nature. That's why all this will unfold. Then the cultivator themselves will know. That's why when what happened to me, I don't need people to confirm. I don't have to go and look for teacher and check around. No need. I know what this thing is. Even that time, nobody teach like that. I know this is the Dhamma. This is the truth. That's why I continue to share and to teach depending on condition. So all this will unfold. So this is the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. Sadhu, busy.
Yeah, virtual with the faith and the virya, and now, how to say trust, virtual.
Trust. You have to do that now.
The trust is now very much with me, virtual.
The
Dharma, my teacher, that's you, virtual. My own inner nature will show me the way, Brazil.
Sadhu, you will know already. You will be having the ability to understand all this. Sadhu, very good. Not to rain again.
I have this feeling with me that I just do what I need to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Sadhu.
Everything will take care
of place. Fall into place, you will unfold. Sadhu, very good. Sadhu.
Actually, that's all I want to share.
Good, Sadhu. Yes, nice. Just exactly 6 o'clock, we can share merits with your second sister. No problem. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu. Sadhu. Then now we will invoke the blessings of the Triple Gem and also the merits for causes and conditions for PG's sister, Lim Po Guat, to have a successful operation and surgery, and at the same time to recover beautifully and speedily from the operation, so that she can gain back her health and be with her loved ones again. So let us share merits, transfer merits, and at the same time, develop the joy. Then on your own, later on, if you want to continue to send merits to the sister, you can do so. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Chirang rakkantu loka sasana Ittawata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabde deva anumodantu Sabasampati siriya Idhang menyatinang hotu Sugita hontu nyatayo Idhang menyatinang hotu Sugita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Deo wasatu kalena sasa sampati hitu cha Vito bawatu loko cha Raja bawatu damiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we will end our first session. Then after that we will have maybe 5 to 10 minutes of fellowship.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all the guidance. Now is every guidance is so important to us. And also congratulate to
PG.
PG.
Yeah.
Such a good condition.
Yes.
the Dhamma.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify about Chunti.
Ah, yes, you better, because you know more. Mahayana side. Yeah.
He is the mother of all enlightened beings.
Oh, sadhu. I didn't know.
Then the usually the three verses that usually before you chant, you got to invite him, invite Chunti.
Oh, okay.
And actually taking refuge to limitless ancient Buddha.
Oh, sadhu. Wow, this is a very special.
Yeah.
Buddha.
So when you but it's very effective the mantra, but we have to be careful in the sense that when you do the calculators, you must know where you're going towards. That means your goal.
Yeah. That one is obvious. Yeah.
And another thing is when the Chunti Pusa usually, like what Bharatio say, you have to chant. And it's actually, if you chant the mantra, it represents all mantra.
Oh, sadhu.
Calculating Om Mani Padme Hum now.
Yeah.
Chant 20, that means it's also similar to Om Mani Padme Hum.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that means it actually speed up your aspirations.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Then you create affinity with them. Then the faith, when you develop, their nature will come and bless you, protect you, and guide you. That's why all this will happen. All these great beings have that special ability. That's why you must have faith. The faith is faith is mainly towards the Mahayana tradition. That's why there are two ways of cultivation. One is to develop the faith, develop the affinity, then from there they move. The other way is the wisdom way, like what we all do. Develop the understanding, then cultivate affinity or the gripping, then make aspiration because we understand for their guidance, protection, and blessing. So both ways work very well, I realize. There are some, like the Salika Sutta, they cannot go the wisdom way first one. Because they don't have the parami. So they need to go to the faith, the affinity way and all those things. They need to start the cultivation from the most basic and the most mundane. Then as they progress through the faith, the affinity, the condition will arise. Then they will develop the practices to actually develop the ultimate wisdom way cultivation. So that one is taking longer, much longer. But that is the way of the Mahayana, mainly Mahayana way. Because Amitabha Buddha also, they took very long. There is the faith. Go to faith is like that. If you go to Virya, it's shorter. If you go to wisdom way, like the Sakyamuni, Kuan Yin, they all, Panya one, they move very fast. So both also have their pro and con. But both also work very well. You can take either way. That's why when you understand, both ways are beautiful. You can continue.
That's I want to mention about Chunti. The thing is, Branch Joe, regarding last time when I asked you the perceptions, perception of form is consciousness.
Yes. Non-perception is wisdom.
The art of listening actually helps a lot.
Yes.
Now, I used to listen to Brother Teo in that type of format, you see. First day, normally I would listen at night.
Oh, sadhu. At night easier, more clarity.
More clear, but I not trying to understand. I just listen.
Yeah, you must just listen. Don't try to understand. Understanding will come by itself. Just listen. Attentively listen. Yeah.
But my funny is the next day, the whole day, the perception manifests.
Sadhu.
Keep on arising and arising, and you notice that not to only all the senses, as long as meet consciousness, the
through the six sandals. Yeah.
The thinking will be there.
Yeah.
And the reacting also will be there.
Mm.
Keep on arising and arising where it's slightly different from the condition state, because when the condition, you must have the condition to arise.
But it
keep on arising.
Mm.
Then suddenly the awareness arises. It they come a word that awareness of thought is awareness of thought is out of thought. Non-awareness of thought is in thought.
you may have sometimes those understanding, but more important is don't try to know. Continue to silence. Continue to develop the stability of daily mindfulness. Then all this understanding will come by itself. The nature will understand. Because the danger of trying to understand, which is driving your movement or cultivation now, that one, if you don't know how to do it correctly, can be a trap, because that one thing to know, one thing to understand, that one is still the subtle thing that go through the back door and come back. So what is important is you remember this, okay? Cultivation is not about knowledge. It's not about wanting to know whether I'm there or not. Forget about it. Because the understanding when they arise is completely different. When they arise, the individual form and mind will know, because there is the wise one. We have wisdom connected already. That's why this one is Pache Tang. Ready Tabo. We know he. So when it's Pache Tang, then it is can be realized by the wise. For themselves. So Pache Tang is not something that is thought based. It's beyond thought. The realization will come. So the perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom, will arise when the mind transforms. When the mind can see that, then the meaning stand up. Because it's very clear to the enlightened being. The mundane mind create perception. And when we create perception of external form, that is the conscious mind, consciousness itself. Whereas the true mind doesn't create perception. The true mind see things as they are. Means the awareness nature is just aware. No movement of thought, no perception, no sankhara, nothing.
Okay.
That's why we call it the pure direct seeing, the pure perception. Means without the words, without the labeling, without the concept. Means like a baby, newborn, sitting as they are. So that one need very stable mindfulness. That one, when your mindfulness is very stable, then you can see. You see without any sankhara, without any thought. So that one, it will come by itself. So continue to develop the listening, which is not bad. But don't try to be too eager to know whether you progress or not. That one could be a hindrance. That one could be a defilement of insight. So remember that. Just develop your stability of daily mindfulness and cultivate your daily religious routine and develop it until it's very stable. Then throughout the day, maintain awareness, maintain mindfulness. Then when you are in a formal meditation, meditate and go to your nature. Let your silent mind detect your nature, the gateway, then let it go in. That process will take a while. Not until that process happens, it's not easy. So all this understanding is very, very crucial for you. Otherwise, you can be trapped. It is very subtle, but it comes back through the back door again because too eager to know. too eager to want to know whether you have got it right or not, the progress and all that. I already advised Song, Brother Song, before. Whatever happened, accept that this is part of the way, the reality. And the cultivation, most important thing is don't try to know. Just do. Just cultivate. Silent. Okay? Yeah?
Yes. Thank you, Brother.
Thank you so much for your good sharing also. Huh? I think we better end. Yeah.
Okay.
It's already 11 minutes. Huh? Thank you so much. So let us rejoice one more time towards PG and Sugate. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.